All right, welcome everybody. This is Winfrey. This is our call that we call You Got Questions, We Got Answers, and hopefully we have answers. And this is our call where people submit questions to our sources, and we ask for the answers through Jerry Brown. And it's very unusual. We never know what's going to happen and what they're going to say. But usually, if they look at how life works, how evolution works, how the universe works, it's not available to the general populace. And even, I don't think there have been books written about it. So many, many times we get information here that has never, ever been brought to the public before. Now, is it true? I tell people, you have to decide. You have to look at the big picture. You have to look at all of our material and see if it resonates with you. And it's kind of nice. We're finally getting grounded from being on the road. And, you know, today I got on the call early, and it was just really, really a pleasure saying hello to people as they're checking in and feeling the affinity that people are having as they keep coming into these calls. I'm just curious, is there anyone on?
Unmuted.
I just unmuted everybody. Anybody listening for the first time tonight? Was that a yes?
Yes. DC and
Great.
Muted.
Well, as I usually tell people who are listening for the first time, and this is true on all of our calls, and it's particularly true on our Sunday call, one of the great benefits of these calls is not the information, not the wisdom, but that our sources have explained that they're paying attention to each of you while you're on this call. It gives them an opportunity to find you. And they won't do that if you're not comfortable with that. You can listen to the call, you know, just in your mind and in your intellect, and you can check it out until you feel comfortable. But it's a very subtle feeling, uplifting to how you're feeling. And it's not anything that I'm consciously doing other than showing up. I just learned over time that if I showed up, they showed up, and that they were not just a voice that speaks through Terry. They were, this is really important, they're not just a voice. They exist as a multidimensional presence that moves through the universe and that can arrive right in your living room or your bedroom in a way that you can feel that presence. And that's an extraordinary experience. And it's very loving. And you get the feeling that you're not alone, that you're connected. And that happens as kind of a background program on all of these calls. And on our Sunday call, which, if you're intrigued with our work, I highly recommend. It's not a background program. We focus on it. We do meditations. We do visualizations to emphasize the experience of that energy. And I only learned that we were actually doing this from the emails I received from so many people who were on the call. And what is the benefit of feeling these energies? Well, the energies are actually you. They're an expanded part of you. And when you take a body in the earth realm, one of the things that invariably happens is that you become disconnected from your higher aspects. And, guys, was that you blowing your nose? All right, I'm muting you, Heise. No more nose blowing. You become disconnected from your higher aspects. And you don't even know what it feels like to connect with your higher aspects. You've gone through your entire life, many of you, disconnected. And maybe even many, many, many lives. So you can have this premise, this possibility that on this call are intelligences that represent your higher aspect, and that they want to connect. And when you make the connection, it starts to speed up your evolution. You start to have more synchronicities. You have things start to come to you. But you have to make the connection. And it's not, you know, many times people hear about, well, the Elohim is God. Let me ask them to do this. Let me ask them to do that. And please do this and do that. And we pray to you for this. And that might work. But in most cases, the best way to have something change is by making a connection with their energies, learning to feel their energies. And on every one of these calls, there is that potential. And if you don't feel it the first time, keep trying. Don't give up. Sometimes it takes months. It's subtle. It's not like it bangs you over the head. These sources are under the auspices of what they call the Law of One. And that means the whole universe is one energy. So when you think of the Elohim or the Ra group, and you think, why don't you sit down next to me? Why don't you talk to me? I'd like to be friends with you. It's like that is a little separation from the truth of it, because they already are you, and that you are in the process of discovering something that you already are and expanding who you are and your own concept of yourself, or the feeling of what it feels like to be you and to move into the reality that you are bigger than you ever thought you were. But you may not move into that as a quantum leap. You've got to set the stage. Your mind has to be comfortable with the ideas. You have to make sure that you trust us, trust them. They're not some demonic thing masquerading as something to take you over. And I think it's okay to be concerned about that the first time you're checking this out, and see if anything validates that kind of idea. Because if it does, you should go away. You shouldn't come back again. I did that for a long time. Terry did that. Could they possibly be who they say they are? So this is not, there's no giving up your power in this work. Now, sometimes people, it looks like people are giving up their power. And that's because so many of us have been in this realm for so long, and we've established, say, a huge track of negative habits, karma, and when something comes in that's this big, and you realize it, sometimes you have to follow it for a while to give yourself the opportunity to let go of those old patterns. Because as you go out into the world, everything is going to reflect those patterns back to you. And until you really anchor a shift in yourself in a very strong way, the world will consistently feed back your old patterns. And some people need to keep coming to these calls for quite some period of time in order for the patterns to shift. And so it looks like you're giving up your power, but you're not really. And there's nothing here that wants you to give up your power. There's nothing that we get out of you giving up your power. And the reason I show up, I don't have to show up. I show up because it's been proven to me how many people are being helped by the work we're doing. And it's a rare opportunity to bring these energies into this realm in a way that you can have the potential to connect with them. So on that note, we have some great questions today. I'll tell you what, before I ask my questions, I just want to see, I'm going to do a little, hang on a second. I want to unmute everybody for just a moment. Just a moment. Hang on. Okay. Hang on. Okay.
Unmuted.
Everyone's unmuted. Now, of course. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I'm just going to take some wild guesses. Anyone want to figure out which founding father I might have been? Yep. Go ahead, say it. We're listening.
Oh, I think they were.
No. If you read the email today, I said we were going to ask the question about founding fathers. And at one point they said I was one, and but they didn't tell me who, but I figured it out. But I'm not going to tell you today. I'm going to tell you one day, and I'll tell you the story. But I'm just curious, anyone who read that email, did they have a thought in their mind of who I might have been?
Yeah, is your name?
Yeah. Yes.
Who was it?
That's very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, based on your looks.
Okay. And we're related.
Okay.
I'm 12th descendant from Benjamin Franklin.
Muted.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say I was, but you might be close. Okay. So, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
I'm here. What?
Oh, there you go. Now put that mic close to your mouth, okay?
Okay.
So we get good volume. All right. And I'm going to call in the light, and we're going to go through these questions. And I'm just letting you guys that are on BBS listening on the Internet know that they're watching you as well if you want them to. Okay? Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space where only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources giving us a introduction to this call?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are here with you today. We are profoundly delighted to be with each and every one of you and are in this space, not over the telephone line, not over the radio. We are just directly there for those that wish us to be there. And for those that wish to connect, we have free will, and so we do not intrude unless you wish us there. Wishing us there is all that is needed. Do you have questions?
We do, and we have a question from Kathy Russo, and she asks, why do our bodies become weak and develop physical pain as we age? It's so sad, and it's something I don't want to live through. That's Kathy Russo in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. This happens to a majority of people as they get older. There are numerous reasons. One of the reasons is lack of nutrients getting to the body, for the body to use. So the body begins to have missing elements, missing strengths, missing abilities to use the nutrients. As one gets older, there is a lack of enzymes that begin to appear. And with a lack of enzymes, then it is very hard to digest the food. And the individual begins to not be able to digest the food and so not make use of it. The nutrients are moved on through or do not digest properly. One of the things is digestion. As the enzymes are lacking, as a person gets older, then they cannot digest the food, particularly cooked food. So you have a majority of seniors having a lack of nutrients and getting sicker and sicker and then not even wanting to be around. Why is there this deficiency in enzymes when a person gets older? When a person eats cooked food, the cooked food has killed the enzymes. The cooking has killed the enzymes. So then the body has to make up for that. And as the body gets into the 40s and 50s and 60s, depending upon the genetics, then there is less enzymes available to digest the cooked food. One of the reasons is a lack of salt, sea salt. Not more than salt. Sea salt can help give the body enough hydrochloric acid, the constituents to make hydrochloric acid, and then the stomach can digest the food. And there is a lot of information on this subject, and we suggest you research it rather than we go into it here. On the
I'd like to...
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to add the question here that obviously aging has to do with genetics, that has to do with DNA. It's my understanding at some point humans, their DNA was engineered so they would age by design. Am I correct there?
Give us a moment. There was this factor, and it is correct. However, even so, there are things that a person can do to extend their viable life by one-third by making sure that they digest their food.
Thank you. And, I mean, as all of you know, there's some certain people that look very, very vital, even as they get older. And they seem to have lots of energy, and they maintain their muscles. And I think sometimes when people have really good intimacy as they get into older age, if they're lucky enough to have that, that helps to keep their DNA.
Yes. Also, when they have enough exercise, exercise strengthens the body and helps to maintain the usage longer of the body system. It also keeps the energy moving. If a person doesn't have enough water, there isn't enough liquids to make flow through the body. So water is an important factor. Liquids are an important factor. There needs to be written a body manual on how to increase one's vitality into old age. When are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Next.
You're faded out again. Give us a moment.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah, let me. I'm going to connect my headset. I think to an external. Still on? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on. Okay.
Yeah. No, I do it.
Are you hunting for the charger?
let us all hang in there for a moment until the technical difficulties have been resolved.
Okay. Concerning tithing, if something is supporting you, if it's supporting your spirit, it's important to support it back. And it's important to support it back out of free will and not out of fear. So if a church is creating a situation which is implying that if you don't do that, something bad is going to happen to you, then it has the wrong, how would we say it, the wrong intent, and it would be negative. For example, I just throw this out. If you're listening to our calls, and if you're getting a lot out of them, and we have places to make donations, donations.intelligent-infinity.com, then making a donation enhances your connection to the energy because you're supporting that which supports you, because we're not charging for this. We're not doing expensive workshops. We're doing it because we know it supports you. And I thank all those people that have been making donations. And even very small amounts. I know many people are tight, but even small amounts, $5 a month. You know, if everyone on our list gave us $5 a month, we would have so much money to do so many things that we can't do because we're tight. And you think your $5 is anonymous. But you have to do it with your heart. You have to do it from the spirit of giving inside of yourself. And I hope we don't have any, how can I say it? If you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. It's positive. If you do it, it'll probably enhance your connection, the energy. And if you don't need it to enhance your connection, then that's fine as well, because there's no strings. Terry, let me give you the phone, and you can answer the question on tithing from their point of view, okay? I found the thing for my phone, so I can go back to it.
This is Terry, and I went out of trance during the transfer of telephones here, and I would like to ask, Lynn, if you maybe could give me a minute to get back into trance, and if you could then repeat succinctly, in a sense, what the question is.
Why don't I just quickly call in the light, okay?
All right.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, everyone here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And we invoke a group energy amongst all of us present who would like to participate in that. And we invite our sources to join this group energy, and we ask for protection right now in this field from anything that is not service to others, anything that's negative, and anything that's already in the vortex, it must leave now. And the question we asked had to do with tithing. Is it positive? Or is it negative?
Thank you. Give us a moment. It is entirely in the spirit that it is done, when it is done out of a desire to give, to have what you are given to flourish, to make it stronger, and to make it more viable, then it is a good thing. If it is done out of obligation, then it is not a good thing. So it is entirely depending upon the circumstances and what the person is giving to.
Thank you. You know, if someone is giving to us and they realize that because they give to us, we're going to reach someone that wasn't reached, and that person could change their path, then the person who is the giver that makes that connection becomes directly responsible for changing the path of other people whose path might not have changed otherwise. See, this is the law of one aspect of it, that we are you, you are us, and how do we support each other? And obviously, on a free will in the physical zone, the more, how can I say it, you know, money is what grounds things, which makes things happen. It's what makes the world work. And it's, I remember when I was younger and something got really, really big, and I used to think it was magic. And when I go back and look at it, and I realize that there were a lot of things that happened to make something go big, and many of them involve spending money, advertising, etc., etc. So, thank you. Next question is, were the founding fathers of the United States wanderers and or starseeds?
Thank you. We have a question in return concerning the meaning of your word wanderer. The word wander means to not have a certain direction, but to move around, not have a home, to be more itinerant, to be indeed indigent. And we are not sure that you mean that word in this context. Could you give us a definition of wanderer?
Wanderer is the word that the Carla Ruckert raw material used to describe members of the raw group who chose to return to physical embodiment after they had graduated this realm. And the indication was that many of the raw group who did this did it as a service, but they were also doing it as a way of learning and exploring the universe. That's what I recall. And, of course, the same word was used in the David Wilcock material.
Yes. In this instance, these individuals are wanderers, and they are focused upon a goal, but it may not appear like a goal. It may appear to do one thing and then another, or to not be focused on one thing. But they have in common the desire to improve things, to bring information, to bring higher information, higher life into the third density, to improve life in the third density, and also to to improve and learn and grow within their own life framework. They appeared not only in this incarnation, in the Founding Father incarnation, however, they also appeared in other incarnations earlier on in their desire to bring organization and a better life to both themselves and to the third density realm. Therefore, these individuals have appeared not just as founding fathers, but have appeared as earlier architects of life on Earth.
When they appeared earlier, did they come in as a group?
Individuals tend to collect the same individuals around them. Sometimes as they came in, they appeared as a group, and other times they would appear as a stellar individual, changing the parameters of life around them with the people that were at hand. Sometimes they attracted individuals to come around them that were of the same group over and over.
Thank you. Could you share any of those instances historically, which we might be familiar with, where this group did come in as a group and made an impact on civilization? For example, in Greece, in Egypt, anything that you want to share?
There was the time of Akhenaten, and they came in as a group around Akhenaten. There was a time in Greece, and they came in as philosophers and teachers.
Thank you. Next question. And this is from Tarek Lakis. It's a very good question, Tarek, and I'm going to take a stab at answering it, and then I'll turn it over to them. I've been listening to the calls for some time now. Maybe it's just me, but I have not heard the Elohim group speak. Is there a reason for this? Also, during the calls, I've not heard these groups identify themselves. I don't mean disrespect. I'm trying to be careful what I put my faith in. And, Dark, let me answer that. First of all, one of the things I've learned is that when you're channeling, no matter what the name is that someone says they are, it may not be who they say they are. And we've had many sessions where the voice that speaks to us has said, well, let me just go back a moment. For the longest time, the voice that was talking to me through both Terry and Daphne said it was the Elohim. And there was a couple of instances where the voice said it was the Ra group. And they said they were important to come through because of the nature of the question that was asked. Well, over time, a few years ago, Terry kept telling me that they had something they were going to announce that night, and it was really big, but they wouldn't tell her what it was. And so we did a session, and what they announced was that the rock, because our group, because this work created a resonance with both groups' souls, and we learned their individual frequencies over time, they were able to do a collaboration behind the scenes, so the voice that would come through would be actually both of them. And they would identify that collaborative effort as Ra'an, which includes the Elohim and the Ra group. Well, the advantage of having access to both groups. The Ra group, because it's made of graduates of this realm, souls that went through hundreds or thousands of lifetimes here and then graduated, had more wisdom of this realm in terms of being stuck here. The Elohim group, by and large, and this is not 100% accurate, but by and large, have not come into this realm. And they stay where they are in a celestial space, because if they came into this realm, there would be no energy, no intelligence to hold the spot at the center. That's the way they described it. So the Elohim group has more power than the Ra group. They have the ability to project energy from their center point right into our space. The Ra group seems to gather around us more closely in. Best way of describing it from my own intuitions. In other words, if you could feel a bunch of spirits around you and move close to you, as I'm saying it, they're kind of doing it. Some of you might feel it. It's the Ra group. And the Elohim group is not personally there, but they're projecting into the space. And both groups, there's great advantages to the connection with both groups. And sometimes people want the hierarchy, and they think that within the hierarchy, the Elohim group is higher in the hierarchy, or closer if you're asking God for something. And in certain senses, that may be true. On the other hand, from what I've learned, the Ra group has been far more active in the close-in contributions to this realm than the Elohim. For example, there's a lot of indications that Jesus was very much connected with the Ra group, and that they had prepared for Jesus for thousands of years, or at least 1,000 years, and that Jesus was actually a member of the Ra group, and the Elohim would be helping in the distance, but the Ra group was actually the worker bees that were making Jesus happen. The Ra group would have been part of the Essenes that were making Jesus happen. Now, it's not important that you believe this. It's just that I found a lot of evidence pointing to this, and I came to that conclusion. One of the things about not identifying the sources coming in all the time, even though if I ask, they'll say this is Ra'an, is that it puts us into the state of mind of not giving up our power to an exalted consciousness that we think of as God, because that's what people will tend to do. It also puts us in the position of constantly scrutinizing and evaluating the material on the strength of the material rather than the elevation of the source name. And I will tell you that as I've watched these channelings, I don't believe we've had too much negative come through, although I know it's possible. I know a source could come through and say, hi, this is the Elohim, and it could not be the Elohim. But I do think there can be bleed through from Terry's consciousness, and particularly when she's tired. And so oftentimes Terry studied alternative health all her life, and oftentimes she will give an answer and immediately point to things she knows that I know she knows in health. And I always have the idea that something bleeding through. Sometimes Daphne would say, go into nature and hug a tree, because that's what works for Daphne. And so that feels to me like bleed through. So when you're listening to these messages, you're not meant to just say, I'm going to repeat that, and that's true. You have to look at the overall pattern of the energy. And when these people channel, as I've come to observe the process, they become part of the group that they're channeling. It's not that they're separate from it. So they're both old souls and probably have been part of the groups. So it's easy for them to create that affiliation. So their bleed through may be just their part of themselves that's participating in the group formulation of answers. God, I got that out pretty clearly. Okay, so I'll turn it over to Terry. And do you understand the question, or should I repeat it?
Could you repeat the question?
I have not heard the Elohim group speak. Is there a reason for this? Also, during the calls, I have not heard these groups identify themselves. I don't mean disrespect. I'm just trying to be careful about what I put my faith into.
Thank you. You, Wynn, have talked about how we have made ourselves known and the movement of the Elohim us working with Ra us. We do this and did this to broaden the frequency of what we make available so individuals will have more of a chance to sense us and to be in two-way contact with us. We, the Elohim, answer many of the questions. When a question comes that it is more appropriate for the Ra group to answer, then the Ra group, not the whole Ra group, but an individual part of the Ra group will come in who is appropriately geared to answer the question. When you experience the color pink, as some of you may, as you close your eyes, that is us. That is the Elohim us. As Wynn has spoken of us as projecting in, we are not so much projecting as we are bilocating. We have the ability to have our life and to bilocate into your vicinity, and it is non-linear, so that we are able to bilocate into many individuals. And as we do this, we sense joy as we wave our energy hands and say hi to each of you.
Thank you. I felt it. You know what? We have a lot more questions, and it's 6:54, and I'm sorry, our little technical difficulties with my mic kind of screwed us up, and we're not quite back to really sharp flow tonight because Terry and I still both have flus, and a lot of you asked really good questions, and I'm not going to have time to ask, but what I want to do is at the end of every one of these calls, 6:55, we probably have 2 minutes. You know, I know many people are coming into the call, and they want healings, and they want shifts. And one of the things we've learned is these group souls are telepathic, and they can read our thoughts. And when we're on this call, we become more visible to them than we normally are in our regular lives. Now, some people might be. That's not necessarily true. If you've done a lot of spiritual work, that may not be true. But for most people, this call is an opportunity to allow them to see you, to work with you. So I want to take a moment. Shut our eyes and see your energies moving through the top of your head and feel the connection with them. And you notice it gets a little quieter and peaceful, a little sacred. And take a moment and think your thoughts of things you would like to occur for either personal healing for yourself, personal healing for someone you care about, a release of patterns, getting along with your spouse better, sending the light to someone for healing. And remember, this all works on the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. So we'll just take a moment of silence and let your thoughts rise up and see what happens.